Thank you very much, Mr. Hansen, and good afternoon to you all. Happy sunny Sabbath in sunny Salem. I just wanted to try that. It's kind of a not so common thing to hear sunny and Salem in the same sentence. We certainly enjoy it while it's here. Oh, there was one thing in the list that he was giving earlier, Mr. Hansen, there of the thunderstorms and the lightning and all the things that seemed to be missing around here. I was thinking there's a couple of other things that didn't come on that list, like tornadoes. He's scowling at me. Those things, I think we can miss those. I think that's okay. I'm going to take care of one thing here real quick before we begin. Wet my whistle. Okay. By way of introducing the first message this afternoon, I would like to start with an announcement that was in a church newsletter, not Salem, but another congregation, a couple of years ago. And it started out something like this. Cherry Jean Faith Tuario, a four-year-old girl who was hospitalized due to dengue fever and had been in a critical condition due to enlargement of the liver and fluid accumulation in the lungs, is now completely healed. She had been in the hospital for 7 days and was discharged on Thursday, February 4th, 2016. Her father, Mr. Marvin Tuario of the Cebu City of the Philippines congregation, extends the following message. Our dear brethren, in behalf of my family, I'm very happy and grateful to all of you for your fervent prayers for the healing of my daughter. We praise God for answering our prayers and thank Him for His intervention and miraculous healing. Thank you, and God bless you all. And this newsletter was from the Raleigh, North Carolina congregation, from their newsletter. We all love to hear the amazing stories of healing that happen to those around us. And many in this room likely have their own exciting and wondrous stories of healing that they can tell. Healing that you, your loved ones, family members, those you know have all experienced. In one way or another, everyone in this room has been blessed with some form of healing in their lives. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, is that one way that God shows His great love and compassion for us is by giving us the blessing of healing. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon the preacher tells us that there's a time for everything. There are a time for many things in our human lives. And we can be assured that there is a time for healing. All manner of things happen to us throughout our physical lives. We're a physical, incomplete creation. We're temporary. We're fragile. We're frail. And because of that, we break sometimes. Sometimes things happen to our bodies, our minds, our spirit, and we can become broken by the various events that go on in our lives, things that happen to us, whatever those might be, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. We are vulnerable to damage. And in God's great love and purpose for us, He gives us that blessing of healing, a benefit that we can obtain. This character of this healing is one of the great characteristics of our God, one that He is known by. And I'd like to turn to Exodus to begin with, and we can see that mentioned as one of the things that He is known by, healing. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Here the people were complaining against Moses because of the bitter water, saying, well, what will we drink? And Moses had cried out to the Lord, and God had taken care of it in a mighty way. In verse 26, he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. God is the Lord who heals us. You know, the word heal has so many meanings that we can consider. I went through the Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary and tried to make a list. Among the things that heal can mean, it can mean to make sound or whole, to restore to health, to cause an undesirable condition to be overcome, to mend, to patch a breach or a division, or to restore to original purity or integrity. What makes healing possible for us and for all of humanity is that our Savior, Jesus Christ, allowed His body to be broken for us while He was here on this earth. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, this is one place that talks about it. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. We usually hear this on the Passover, when we see what He went through, that we can be here standing before God today. And Peter also reminds us of this in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. I'll just go ahead and read this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, he says, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." You know what's so wonderful about this, to realize and to consider, is that this was planned for us from the beginning. God made this part of His plan for us and for all of mankind, indeed all of His creation. One day, all will be healed. So how is this blessing of healing obtained for us? Though God makes exceptions at times, healing is most often interactive. There's something that we have to do to obtain the blessing. Healing is one of the key components of God's relationship with us. It helps build that relationship between Him and us. We learn how to love and trust in Him, to have faith in Him, and rely on Him in seeking healing. What is our part? First of all, we must pray for healing. When we need healing, pray to our great God for it. We on our own or others with us. Ask others to pray with us that God may hear and that He may heal. We ask for anointing by an elder or minister in God's service. And we ask for forgiveness if it's needed. Sometimes illnesses, in whatever form they may take, are the result of a mistake made or a sin committed. If we repent in humility, in true sincerity, and if we turn away from those sinful actions which may be causing us harm, God is quick to forgive us, and He will heal. 1 John 1 and verse 9 reminds us, I'll just read this to you, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a form of spiritual healing. Once these things are done, then we must trust in God, have faith in Him that He will carry through. Whether you pray and seek, or whether others pray on your behalf, have faith. Don't give up. Don't quit. Be persistent. Rely on Him to restore you or whoever you're praying for. And as we have been instructed in the past, another section of doing our part, especially with physical healing, is to make sure it is proper and prudent to seek medical help when we need it. All the while, remembering that God is the one who blesses us with healing. God is the one who mends us. He can inspire and guide and strengthen the physical doctors, show them what's wrong if it's His will. James 5, in verses 13 and 14, to start with, puts it all in a nice little package for us, the things that we just mentioned. James chapter 5. Starting in verse 13, James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And if we go back and look at this process of anointing, we can see that it was instituted in Acts 19, verses 11 through 12, through Paul, where he could take pieces of cloth and send them out. And the people who would pray over that would be anointed. Again, it's God's great power that heals through that process of anointing. Okay, James 5 and verse 15. To continue, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. God promises he will heal, but he will heal in his time. Let's go to the book of Psalms. We can be assured, again, it is in many places in the Word of God. God is a God of healing. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, praise for the Lord's mercies, a psalm of David, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. It's very encouraging. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, and who heals all your diseases. We can be assured that God heals. But again, he will do it in his time. And that's one of the hardest things for us, I think. It's hard for me. Is that it's not always in our time. You know, many struggle with various ailments, even here and now. We struggle and we hope for healing. And when we're hurting, we would like to be healed right now, wouldn't we? We don't want to suffer through what we're suffering through. Or if others are suffering, we don't want them to suffer. We want them to be healed now, don't we? Right? Well, with God, there is a purpose and a plan in his healing. And we don't always understand that plan right away. It's not easy for us. That is where the faith and trust element has to come in. We have to wait and look and hope to God. I want to go to the story of Naaman the Syrian. I think most of us know that story. But there is an example of someone who didn't get healed right when he wanted to be healed, and he didn't get healed in the way he wanted to be healed originally. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Uh-oh, I'm in 1 Kings. That's not going to work. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's see, where do I want to come into this? Naaman was the commander of the army of Syria. Let's just go ahead and start in verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. So he had a condition, a pretty serious condition, that could not be cured by conventional medicine back then. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." In verse 5, the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing, a lot of goods and money. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he speaks a quarrel with me." Verse 8, "So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" Verse 9, "Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying," here's where it gets interesting, "'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became furious. He went away." It sounded like he wasn't going to get healed right away. "He said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?'" So there's a cultural issue here too. "'Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage." Great. I went all this way. I did all this stuff. I'm not going to get healed now. "And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he gave in. He decided, okay, I'm going to try this and see what happens. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'How come you didn't just heal me to begin with?'" That's not what he said, was it? He said, notice this, "'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant.'" Note that Naaman had to do something first before he would receive healing. He had to step out and act on faith. With this miraculous healing, God accomplished a mighty deed through Naaman. He showed Naaman and the people around him his power to heal, something the idols of the land could never do. And it had a major impact on Naaman. Note the next two verses. Chapter 5, verse 16. Breaking in here. This is Elisha speaking. He said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." Elisha wasn't going to take credit for it. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Verse 17. "So Naaman said, 'Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord.'" By this healing, God accomplished a great purpose. Naaman turned away from his idols and started serving God. It doesn't tell us how long he kept it up here, but at this moment, that's what he was doing. See, God knows what to do to reach people, to get their attention. And sometimes it is by allowing sickness to befall us, that we may remember God and turn to him and seek him out. Hezekiah did the same thing. We know the story. He said there he was told by the prophet Isaiah to get his house in order because he was going to die. Straight out. What did Hezekiah do? Did he start running around seeking all the doctors, all the miracle cures? No. He went to God straight away. And you can read the story in 2 Kings verse 20. Hezekiah was given extra years to live. He was given extra time to live. I believe it was 15 years. From praying to God, asking for his intervention and healing. From a man who was going to die very soon to having 15 years added to his life. Hezekiah knew where to go. He knew what to do. In a United News article entitled "Trials and Tribulations of God's People" from December 2006, Mr. Lou Fackery wrote the following. His quote, "God does care about your pain. He knows our needs even before we ask, and he references Matthew 6 and verse 8. But we should continue to ask God for relief. Don't let God rest until he heals you, he says. He will heal, but he doesn't say when. Sometimes he intervenes speedily to our request for help. Sometimes he makes us wait. In the case of Daniel, he intervened only after Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. In the case of Daniel's friends, it was after they were thrown into the fiery furnace. In Jeremiah's life, God rescued him after he was thrown into the slimy pit. In each case, and with Naaman, by the way, God could have intervened sooner. Then there were cases like Elisha, who died of a sickness. Paul apparently was not healed before he died. We read about the thorn in his side that he talks about, which may well have been his vision problem that he had. But all we can assume is that God will heal them and some of us in the resurrection, if need be. But we should not lose hope of being healed now. And then he references 1 Peter 4 and verse 19, where it says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." End quote. We know, we have faith that God is there for us. And when the time is right in his eyes, even if it means after the end of our physical existence, he will heal us. He may choose to bring us healing when we become spirit beings. It's entirely in his purview. He knows so much more than we do about what's going on and what needs to happen in our lives. The important thing is not to lose hope, not to give up. We must continue to pray, all of us, for those who need that healing, in whatever form that healing may take. You know, Jesus Christ spent much of his time on earth healing people during his earthly ministry, and often in mighty and miraculous ways, that God's awesome power and love would be seen. Let's look at a couple of these briefly in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. You know, Luke being a physician, there's no doubt in my mind that witnessing these healings himself as they occurred, he was no doubt very, very moved by these things. It probably helped strengthen his faith in God and Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 8, and let's begin in verse 40. Luke 8 and verse 40. Jesus had just got done, Jesus had just healed a man of severe demon possession, and he was returning from that miraculous healing. So breaking into the account in verse 40 of Luke chapter 8, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and couldn't be healed by any of them, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her blood flow stopped. And Jesus knew. He said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me?' But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out of me.'" God's Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, healed that woman. "Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." Verse 48, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.' While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.'" What devastating words to hear. "But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well.'" Have faith. Trust. Don't give up. Continue to beseech God. Verse 51, When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. You know, in our congregations, that's an amazing, that's a miraculous healing. In our congregations, we have many children who are ill. Maybe we wonder, how can this be? Why is this? We have to know and remember that God is not cruel. He knows, and God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love. But even at times like these, there's a good purpose and a good plan behind what God does. Let us be reminded in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We most likely know the verse. It's very familiar to us. Romans 8 and verse 28. It's something we have to remember when we consider these things. Romans 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And we can take that to the bank. We must trust in God that all will work out in the end according to his plan and his purpose. We must trust that he knows what he's doing. And we can be inspired and find hope in the many, many examples of healing that we find in this book, the God-breathed Word of God. We can read those examples in full faith, knowing that they're true, or they will come to pass. They actually happened. And when the time is right in the eyes of God, we too will be healed. Those we love will be healed. You know, it's interesting to note, too, that Christ's miraculous healings of the masses during his human ministry on earth could actually be considered a foretype of the healing that will come at his second coming, which we celebrate at the Feast of Tabernacles. That blessing of healing will one day extend to all of humanity. What a blessing it is to know this. What a blessing. You know, and as I said, we hear a lot about this at the feast when we talk about and consider the soon coming kingdom of God. It rotates so much around healing, healing the people, healing the land, healing their spirit, and showing them who truly is God. You know, in an excerpt from his blog on Beyond Today website entitled "Good News, the Healing That Only God Can Bring," and this was from July 2011, United Church of God pastor Randy D'Alessandro says the following about Jesus Christ healing the nations. He says, "There will be physical healing, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings," according from Malachi 4 and verse 2. The word "son" here means that the sun gives earth, it's the sun that gives the earth its light and warmth. The metaphor is that of the healing powers the sun gives. In like manner, when Christ returns, a significant part of his ministry is to aid in the total healing of mankind. Jesus Christ will supply mental and emotional healing. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed," from Luke 4 and verse 18. Here Christ is referring to his first coming, but also alluding to the work he will do at his second coming, the work of healing the brokenhearted and setting people free. Mankind has been held hostage by Satan, the god of this world. But the time is coming when mankind will be liberated physically, mentally, and emotionally from the injuries inflicted by Satan. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," quoting John 8 and verse 32. And then he ends this section with the end of sickness and disease. Last and most importantly, mankind will receive spiritual healing. Notice what God will do for mankind upon genuine repentance. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's from Psalms 103 and verse 12. Our sins are to be forgiven, and we are to be spiritually healed as a result. Paul says that even our conscience will be cleansed and healed so we can pursue a new life. That's from Hebrews 9 and verse 14, and the article ends there. These things that he noted here in this article are blessings of healing that we can have working in our lives now if we do our part to seek them. Brethren, we all know that there's a lot of hurt in the world. All manner of suffering, all manner of broken people, broken in so many different ways. Because mankind has been blinded and has chosen to go his own way apart from our Creator, mankind suffers. Mankind hurts. And we often experience it ourselves, being numbered among the broken at various times in our lives. But there's a day coming soon where there will be healing for the entire world. And there will be ultimate healing for us, all of us. All of humanity will be blessed with healing. It's very encouraging, isn't it? It's very encouraging. Let us remember that we're part of this now, God's blessing of healing. I think the most important thing that I can impart, the takeaway of this message, if you will, is that God's healing is a blessing, and he intends to give it to us in his time when he knows that it's right for us. When we're broken and we need that blessing, ask for it. Pray for it. Seek anointing if need be. And be faithful. Trust that God will deliver. Don't give up. When we call on God for the blessing of healing, he does hear. He does see. He does know. And he does heal.